This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I'm Danny. You'll hear from Grant in a moment. He just landed. I mean literally just landed in West Palm Beach. Good morning. All right, let's set the stage. It sucks outside. It's gross. It's dumb. Dar, your pal, old Fannie Mouye, and GP were supposed to fly out this afternoon at 3:30 p.m. I would say that's in jeopardy. I would say that flight status is in jeopardy. We haven't heard anything from the airport people, but I imagine we will. Dar is feverishly working his index finger, his pointer sister finger, clicking refresh on the updates. To figure out what the hell is going to happen. So we were so worried and so preoccupied with what the snow was going to do and our travel and everything else. Grant just did the thing that Grant does, where he got all fatootsed, got all verklempt, he got all worked up, and he did a thing. We threw his hands in the air and said, I'm going tonight. After he asked for a hotel room, I think, by the way. Like, it was brought up, hey, you can get a hotel room to make sure that you can get to the show on time this morning. You know, if people are worried about it, that's fine. Some people took advantage of that. I'm one of those people. Grant said yes to that, and then he said, you know what, I'm also changing my ticket. I'm flying out tonight. So he flew last night. He was at Dulles Airport just twiddling his thumbs until probably midnight, I think. I'll let him tell you the entire blow-by-blow. But here's your general. He was at Dulles Airport, flew to Charlotte. He spent the night in Charlotte like Tom Hanks in the movie where he spends the night in the airport. I'm going to set up the rest of the show. We got plenty of other stuff to talk about. You're in the update from Pete Medhurst, this Bryce Harper on the clock thing. We're going to go into what the worst element of this Bryce Harper thing is. Is it that he's going to Philly? Is it that this saga has gone on for months? Is it, you know, he's not coming back and you still have to hear about it? What's the worst part of that? We'll do that at 10:18. But right meow on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. You know him because he's on the show. Grant Paulson joins us from somewhere in Florida. GP, where are you right now?
I am about to turn on Haverhill Road, which is the road that the National Spring Training Complex is on. ETA to the facility is about 10:06 a.m., about 2 minutes from right now.
Where did you sleep last night?
So I slept with a guy named, I think his name was Roland.
Roland.
Not Bill Roland, but I think his name was Roland.
Roland West, a true detective.
Right, it was me and him and like nine of our closest friends. We were in gate B8 terminal at Charlotte National Airport. We were in chairs very close to each other, and he snored extremely loudly as often as he could. Also talked really loudly on his phone at about 3 in the morning. I don't know who he was talking to for about 40 minutes at that late, maybe someone on the West Coast. But, yeah, I got to know some people I hadn't known previously. It was a really good time. Got about 14 minutes of sleep. Here's one good thing I did get to do, Danny.
Yeah.
I finished a season and a half of the show Friends from College on Netflix, which I thought was hilarious, and I was all about it to tell you some great things about the show today. And then I saw, literally, as I was eating breakfast, about season three.
Oh, you broke up at like the pinnacle there. You built up to the part of the story, and then I lost you. What was the thing you said right before season three?
I saw that it had got canceled right before season three.
Yeah, it's been canceled.
So it's not going to be around anymore. So I saw both of the seasons last night in the terminal.
All right.
I did a door Netflix binge.
So I need to know from you, given what you did, right? You said, you know what? I'm worried enough about this. I'm getting down to Florida. You went through your odyssey. You're there now. Do you think you made the correct decision?
Well, we don't know the answer until today. It's going to be based on you and Dar and whether or not you make your flight,
Good
your
point.
Flight gets canceled, your flight is delayed. As of right now, this is a horrible disaster. There's no denying that. In the short term, this was a fiasco of epic proportion. I botched this and tried to be ambitious, and I made a terrible decision, and that's unequivocal. Booked a hotel last night for this area, West Palm Beach, I wasn't able to use, non-refundable, never got to West Palm Beach, among other things. So yeah, there were a lot of things that happened last night that didn't go according to plan. But the entire point was to make sure that as of tomorrow, we were here. And we will be here tomorrow. We're going to be here while all of our guests are walking over to the table. So are you and Dar going to be here? That's now the big question. How are things there? Is it snowing?
Yes.
Is it icy? Or is your flight canceled yet?
It's not canceled yet. Dar is umsoing us both and telling us right now the flight's on time. I just can't believe it's going to happen. I'm going to be honest with you. I just have no confidence that we will fly out of DCA at 3:30. It doesn't feel like it's going to happen. It feels very snowy, very icy, very flight delay-y. That's how it feels to me.
Dar is telling you it's going to happen, though?
Yeah, he umsoed me in my ear about 30 seconds ago. He's like, oh, the flight is still on time. So we'll see. I mean, he's very confident, apparently, that this weather won't interrupt air travel, even though time in memoriam, snow, ice, wind, all those things tend to disrupt traveling itineraries.
Doesn't it just take two or three flights being banged or pushed back and then the rest of them all kind of get inconvenienced by that, right?
I feel like it's above my pay grade. What I think happens is any flight from anywhere that gets disrupted ruins everything for everybody. So, like, one guy, you know, one bad guy on the ground in Denver who, like, didn't put the right thing on has to, like, double back into the hangar where the bag is supposed to be. Now they're delayed. Well, that plane is then supposed to turn around and go to Miami. That's delayed for an hour. Then everybody can't fly. That's all. That's my opinion. I have no idea if it's true or not, but that's always how I felt. The thing that I want to hone in on, though, real quick, is this is all on your own dime, right? Because you're not expensing any of this.
I'm not planning on expensing anything, no. I mean, there weren't going to be many expenses, frankly. The flight wasn't much. I mean, it was a one-way ticket to West Palm Beach. The hotel itself was, you know, not a lot. It was going to be a couple of bucks, but I didn't get to use it anyway, so that stunk.
You just bought a one-way ticket. You didn't change your flight.
Well, I need to do that today. I need to call or have somebody call and cancel the flight.
Yeah.
So that's still going to happen at some point.
Okay. Do you want to hang up with me and go do that? It feels like something you should do.
I feel like I have until 3:30 to do that. So
no,
we'll get
no,
that
don't.
Done at some point.
You've done this before and you had to eat an entire flight. You need to do it like
you should
two
do
hours
it.
Before the flight.
I don't know. The lady at Concur told me as long as I do it before the flight happens, that it'll be all right.
You spoke to somebody at our expense report thing?
Yeah, they booked everything for me.
What was that like?
It was lovely. I called in. They were very nice. And all they did was answer all my questions, book all my travel, and got me to Charlotte to stay overnight at a reasonable time.
Did they tell you that you can't expense Tums?
They did not tell me that, no. But again, I never once planned on expensing anything, so I think they liked me a lot.
They they're fans of you, yeah.
Yeah, they hate Danny and they hate you.
Did they ever mention to you that if you are quite literally a fraction of a cent over 20% in terms of tipping, and you've rounded up into a hundredth of a percent of a cent, that they'll reject your expense report three times? Did they mention that to you?
I know that because I do a radio show with a guy that had that happen to him once.
Yeah,
but no, they did not mention that at all. By the way, as we're talking, as you can tell, I'm moderately distracted. I've just paid my good man here in the cab.
Excellent.
I'm getting out at the ballpark where it is 83 degrees.
Yes, man.
The baseball is in the air, and I'm now sweating profusely. I pulled a hangover, by the way. Like, if you were driving in a truck above me, you could have looked down and seen me changing. Your boy was in jeans and a sweater when he got off that bird.
Yep.
Right now he's wearing a polo shirt, khaki shorts, and some kicks.
You better have tipped that cab driver a little bit extra for that show you put on in the back seat.
I hooked him a little bit, yeah. I gave him what I could, I'll be honest with you.
All right, buddy, I'm going to let you go, let you get set up. You will be on the show fully operational in a matter of minutes. So I'll let you go
right.
And do that, get your credential, check in, the whole nine yards. I'm glad you're there safe, pal.
You're a sweetheart. Thank you, and enjoy what's left of this show. If you never hear from me again, travel got me.
There he goes. That is Grant Paulson. 3 hours, 50 minutes down, or to go, rather, on this program. So it's snowing outside. It sucks. It's dumb. It's gross weather. Hopefully we'll make it. Grant's down there. He did it after all the odysseys. So let me set up the show. I mentioned the Bryce Harper topic. We'll do that next. I want to talk Nationals non-Bryce Harper on this show. We're doing spring training. It's happening. Deal with the fact that spring training is happening. Baseball season is here. It's not just a where will Bryce Harper land thing. The Nationals will be practicing. They'll be playing spring training games before you know it. The season is almost here. I want to know what you give a damn about non-Bryce Harper division. What are you excited about? What are you into? What are you looking forward to? Max pitching, Soto hitting, healthy Adam Eaton, Anthony Rendon doing Rendon things, major league quality catchers, two of them. Are those your skis? Both of them? Are the Redskins locked into a quarterback? Every mock draft has the Redskins taking a different QB. CBS has one today. It's the third QB we'd have to discuss. It's not Kyler Murray, and it's not Drew Lock from Missouri. It's somebody else this time. We'll go through that. And the 1 o'clock hour, I got to get to this AAF bailout thing. I need to talk about that because they're trying to say that it wasn't a bailout. I'm saying it was a bailout. I'm saying that the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes gave them $250 million so they could stay in business. We'll do that in the 1 o'clock hour. But write me out. As I said, I want to line up the phones. I wish to hear from you. Participate in this process. 800-636-1067. I'll go through some of the reasons. I'll go through some of the possibilities. I will go through what I think are the worst elements of this, but I will ask you, what is the worst thing about this ongoing Bryce Harper saga? The most frustrating thing, the thing that irritates you the most, is it the fatigue of all of this, that it's still going on? Is it knowing that he's not coming back, but there's still a fraction of a reason, potentially, that he might still come back? So you're teased. Is it that he's going to Philly? Is it that it's still not over and spring training has started? What is it? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. The worst part of this Bryce Harper saga. That's next. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Hey, guys. Still Danny. I want to tell you about my friends at Ted Britt Ford. Oh, am I glad I got my Ted Britt Ford in this inclement weather. That's right. I have no issues in the snow. None, baby, none. I'm like one of those obnoxious people from New England that overtalks about how good they are in the snow without the accent. That's me. Love it. First drive all month long at Ted Britt Ford in Fairfax and Chantilly. 2018 Echo Sport, as little as $179 per month or 0% APR for 60 months when you purchase. How about a 2019 Escape for just $239 a month? Or Explore for as low as $349 per month. Get a $6,000 off the MSRP on a new 2018 Ford Mustang GT. 2018 Ford F-150. Ted Britt's going to give you, I have to clear my throat for this, $13,500 off the MSRP. Or you could take advantage of 0% APR for 60 months. Here's your Stone Cold Steve Austin bottom line. Okay, a bunch of great deals on a bunch of great cars at Ted Britt Ford. They are friendly. They're fast, they're efficient, they're smart, they know what they're doing, it's how they've been in business for about 60 years. They treated me great, they'll treat you great as well. Got to go see them in Fairfax and Chantilly and tell them Danny sent you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant and Andy here on The Fan. Grant will join us momentarily. Fully fledged, armed, and operational battle station from West Palm Beach, Florida, where the Nationals are working out on a baseball field. Here in Southeast Washington, D.C., it's snowing, it's gross, it's miserable, it's dumb, but here we are, and we're supposed to fly out in, what is it now, about 8 hours? 9 hours? I can't do math. 2, 3, it's like 5 hours? 6 hours energy? I don't know. Point is, we're flying out this afternoon. Here's what I want to do. 800-636-1067. Line up the calls on this. What's the most annoying thing about this Bryce Harper endless saga? Maybe that's it, that it's endless. Here are the nominees in the Oscar Awards category for most annoying thing about this Bryce Harper deal. That it's Philadelphia. That's got to be up there. He's going to Philly. Everybody knows he's going to Philly. That's the continued leader. Every time anybody's mentioned, it's Philly's in the catbird seat, blah, 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 blah. I hate that. That's the part that kills me. I do not like this at all. Not necessarily that I need the Nationals to have Bryce Harper, right? I prefer they did to they not. But the fact that they're getting him and I've got to see him 19 times a year watching Bob Carpenter and FP on Masson call Bryce Harper homers against the Nationals is going to suck. That's going to suck. Next, the fatigue, the endlessness of all of this that still isn't solved. Every day there's something. Bryce Harper sneezed. and he Instagrammed this, or he unfollowed Tom Wilson, or a plane took off from Las Vegas. Endless nonsense and crap, non-reports. Or is it something else that we're not even talking about? I mean, to me, the most annoying thing in this entire process has undoubtedly been John Heyman's got a rumor. Bob Nightingale's got a rumor. Chris Russell's got a rumor. Mark Feinstein has a rumor. Jeff Passan has a rumor. There's nothing substantial. It's constant, and everybody's so voracious for the information and for closure that every little misstep, false step, pretend thing is made into a thing. I'm exhausted by it. That's mine. I can't stand the non-update updates. I just want it to be over. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Jack in Manassas. Jack, what's the most annoying part about this Bryce Harper saga?
Good morning, Danny. Hey, and I think you made a colossal mistake yesterday. You should have rolled with Grant. You'd be in the sunshine right now having a cold drink and a pair of colored boxers.
But all I would have had to do is stay overnight in the Charlotte airport. I guess I will agree with you. The mistake is mine.
Look, that's a great way to meet new fans.
I suppose, anyway, yes.
So I think it's like an extended pregnancy. You know it's imminent, and the belly continues to swell as it adds on. But as you get closer to the end, the pain increases, but you see the light at the end of the tunnel. So everyone knew, if you didn't, you're an ostrich and you got your head deep in the sand, that as soon as he got here, he was looking forward to make plans to get out. He wore that on his sleeve. I'm not saying he didn't try hard and perform well. He did. I'm not saying he's not a good athlete. He's an excellent athlete. But I'm of the ilk that if you have 300 and some odd million dollars that you can, late in the year when you're making a run, put towards a pitching staff, because we know, look at the Red Sox last year, we know pitching wins series, then you're better off than one guy that's going to, you know, miss 18 to 20 games injured. He's a bit of a diva in the locker room. And right now in the field, I think the Nats are looking pretty good. So I'm looking forward to birthing that baby and getting Mama back in shape so she can run half marathons with me.
Love it, Jack. Appreciate the call, dude. I like that analogy. The extended pregnancy, meaning you know that this is coming. There's going to be an end to it, but the fact that it's dragged out this far is frustrating. Jay in Fairfax, worst part about this Bryce Harper saga is?
A lot what Jack said. To me, the worst part is we've known all along that he's leaving, and even though we offered him that, you know, massive contract, we've known since the day he's gotten here that he's out the door. And that, to me, that's the most frustrating thing, that he's kind of strung us along. And I know that's Boris's strategy because he didn't want to eliminate Washington. But as soon as the season ended, we all knew he was leaving. So to me, that was the most frustrating thing, that we never really had a shot to retain him.
Jay, thank you, buddy. Here's the thing about that. I get everything you're saying. And objectively, if I was to make two columns, right? Column one is, Bryce Harper's obviously leaving. I've got enough signs that point to that, right? There's so many signs that point to that, that he outright rejected 10 and 300, that he's always wanted to go to free agency. He's got his eyes on these records, whether it's contract length or AAV or overall value, whatever, right? That's always been the case. That's always the feeling. But there's this little splinter where the door has always seemed kind of open, right? It's like rooting for the Redskins, where objectively I know this is not a good team right here. Like, I look at a certain group. I know they're not any good a couple years ago. But then I have this little thing in my mind, this little hope, this Andy Dufresne chisel away underneath Raquel Welch and one day break out. What if they do it? What if they get lucky? And then I hope somehow, and I get disappointed when I knew they were going to lose. That makes sense? Because, I agree with you that all the signs all along have pointed to him not coming back here. And yet, there's the Ted Lerner factor. Scott Boras can call the red phone in Ted Lerner's office and he can go ahead and spend over the luxury tax threshold because he doesn't care. Interesting, man. I don't know. 800-636-1067. AD in Phoenix. AD, what up, dude?
What's going on, man?
Hey, man.
What's going on? Just to make you feel better, it's only 40 degrees out here in Phoenix. So,
there you go.
It ain't that great. But here's my thing, not to be repetitive. Obviously, you know, the length of how this thing has been dragged out, the fact that it's the Phillies that he's possibly going to. I mean, those things are the worst things. But I wanted to make a comment on, we should be happy as fans. We actually have a franchise that's doing it the correct way. They put an offer on the table at the end of the year and say, here's our offer. after he said no, you know what they did? They said, we're not going to dwell on it. We're not going to try to make him the enemy of the fans. We're going to go out there and we're going to complete our team. And they went out there and said, well, we're going to go get this guy, because what we should be talking about is how this is the best all-around lineup and pitching staff that the Nationals have ever had. So the people that say that we're better off with Bryce and this now, okay, we could have signed Bryce, but we might have lost out on certain guys. We might have lost out on the Corbin.
Yep.
Might not have had the money to be able to get that type of guy. So I'm just happy that this franchise is doing it the right way. What the Redskins should have done with Kirk Cousins after they gave him the offer, move on, move about your business. Same thing that the Wizards could have done with some of these guys with Otto Porter and some of these other contracts. So let's just be happy that this team is doing it the right way.
No, it's well said.
You can go to Philly, go to San Diego, we're going to boom regardless. But that's what I'm focusing on, my team doing it the right, correct way finally.
Andy, it's a great call. Appreciate it, buddy. And, I mean, he's right about that. And that's why we're going to do that in the 11 o'clock hour. Because you can't ask a Nationals question right now without Bryce Harper. Even though there's, you know, whatever it is, what's is it a 2% chance, 5%, 7%, 10%? No matter what percentage you throw on him coming back to the Nationals, it's still not the likely scenario. What's likely is the team they've got in Florida minus the, I don't know, a Jeremy Hellickson-style addition, minus another Justin Miller, minus a Joaquin Benoit, whatever. That's the team. Rizzo said that. He's been very clear about that. He was on with a million people. Just now I saw a clip from ABC 7 News. Robert Burton sat down with him. And he said, guys, we're preparing for life without Bryce Harper. Of course you are. That's your job. That's why you're a really good GM. That's why you're one of the best in the world. We're going to do that. And I think it's a good point. 800-636-1067. Let's do one more of this. Give me something I haven't thought of yet. What's the worst thing about this Bryce Harper saga taking forever and dragging out? And you just know he's going to Philly, right? What's the worst part about it? Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Chris Russell will join the show at 11. I heard him last night as I was driving down to this area, going through some players he think might be cut candidates for the Redskins to create more salary cap room maybe than we first thought. Some guys he was keeping, I was actually really intrigued by. We'll do that at 11 o'clock. But right now, 800-636-1067. I want to do one more segment of this. What's the most irritating? What's the worst part about this ongoing, never-ending story that is the Bryce Harper saga? Before we grab the phone calls, I do believe, via the magic of technology, we can go to West Palm Beach and welcome Grant Paulson onto the show. Jeeps!
Greetings,
buddy.
82 degrees. Baseball is being played. How are you, Dan?
I'm very well, my friend. So weigh in on that. We've kicked around some of these potential reasons, right? It's that it's the Phillies and it's inevitable. It's that it's never-ending, right? Just the fatigue of it all. The fact that he's turning down Washington maybe for somebody. For me, it's the non-update updates. Because it hasn't ended, because there's no closure and we're so desperate for closure, it's the, a plane is leaving Las Vegas. Bryce Harper unfollowed Tom Wilson. This rumor, the Phillies offer is said to be this, the Padres offer is said to be that, the White Sox offer may have included this. No one knows anything. There's nothing substantial. And these never-ending non-update updates have me just wishing whatever it is would just happen. For you, what's the most irritating part of this never-ending Bryce Harper saga?
I think the first thing is that I think Nationals fans, by and large, many of us have had our minds made up for years that he wanted out. And no matter what he said or what he did, no matter his words or his actions, there was nothing he could do to change anybody's minds. I don't really know when or how that started. You know, he was going to be a Yankee, remember, forever. When he was 20 years old, people were saying he wants to sign with the Yankees in 7 years. And I don't know where or how that all got going. I mean, he has had no conversations with the Yankees. They aren't even players, it doesn't seem like. Now, maybe they'll swoop in at the last moment, but that would be more coincidental than anything because they're the team with the money. But that was obviously wrong. And then we changed our target. The bullseye was There was a report years ago he wanted to be a Boston Red Sox. Remember, that was his number one city. Then he was Mr. Cub. His dog's name is Wrigley, and he loves Chris Bryant, and he and his wife go out to dinner in Chicago in the offseason with Chris Bryant and his wife. And we just kind of kept running to the next stop to blame him for where he wanted to be. And none of it was ever true. Now he's going to potentially settle in Philadelphia. There was never rumors about that. I can't imagine he loves Philadelphia for any reason other than that they'd be offering the most money.
Yeah, I think if he did, he'd sign already, right?
A long time ago, they said, this guy doesn't want to be here. I don't know why that happened. The other thing, Danny, there's two for me. The second thing is, this has not happened yet, but this is going to annoy me about this entire process. And it's something I've kind of floated to you a few times, and I think you agree with me on. Let's say he does sign with the Phillies at 10 years and $315 million or something like that, or $310 million. People are going to come back and say that he signed with Philly despite the offer only being $10 or $15 million more than Washington. And they'll pretend like the two offers were on the table at the same time. And unless Boris and Harper go back to the Nats and give them a chance to match at the end and they decide not to, I just don't think that's that relevant, to, you know, unless they say, oh, we will give you $300 again. Because they made an offer to him before free agency started, before they knew what the market was. Even today I was on with the Junks, and EB mentioned, you know, if he signs with the Phillies for one more extra $1 million a year and $10 million over 10 years, man, I'll boo the heck out of him in a way that I didn't thought I would. Well, that's not really how this is playing out. It's going to be how it's covered. It's going to be how it's written. It's going to be how fans view it, though. The Nats made a $300 million offer. He only signed for $10 million more than that. He chose another team over the Nats for $10 million, when that's not actually a real thing.
Right. So if they were both offers presented in real time at a negotiating table, for the sake of argument, it would never go that way. But let's say that it did, and he said, no, I choose folder number B, which is the Phillies, then people would have a case. When your point is well seen, in so much as the $300 million was offered, and then it was kind of recanted. In other words, hey, we can't do this. We're going to move on. We're signing Patrick Corbin. We're signing Brian Dozier. We're trading for Yan Gomes. We're signing Kurt Suzuki. The Nationals moved on from that offer, and it was rescinded. If it was still on the table, and that's the thing that we think we know based on what Mark Lerner said, based on countless amounts of comments from Mike Rizzo, that offer's not available anymore and hasn't been for some time since they basically said, take it now or that's it. And it's not just he signed in Philly for $1.5 million more per year than the Nats would have offered him. There is, though, a rejection of the Nationals' offer that I think will stick in a lot of Nats fans' craw.
And I think understandably, but I think the argument then should be, or at least the conversation should be centered around whether or not he misevaluated the market, whether he and Boris thought they were going to get more money than they did. Should they have taken that offer initially? I think those are all fair questions. But to say, well, he chose the Phillies because they offered him $1 million more per year or $10 million more.
Right, that's not fair.
That's just not correct.
Yeah.
Now, there's a path to that being true, which again would be, and we're hypothetically talking about 310 to the Phillies. It could be 275 to the White Sox at this point. Nobody knows anymore after what just happened with Manny Machado. But the path to that being correct and writers being able to write those columns about the choice that he made is that if the Phillies make their offer and the Nationals come back and say we'll match it or we'll get within $10 million, then he can either stay where he's comfortable, where he's lived with a fan base that loves him and that money is there for him and the offer's on the table, or he can leave for $10 million more bucks. And if he does that, then I think you're right to crush him and say he was just trying to squeeze out every penny. And look, a lot of people have felt for a long time like he was going to go wherever the most money was offered. It didn't matter if that was the Oakland Athletics or the Colorado Rockies. He's in this to set a record. I think that might be a fair critique, but again, until he takes the highest bid,
then we don't know.
I just don't know if we should eviscerate him for it.
800-636-1067. The most annoying part, the most frustrating part, whatever you want to do, and it's your call, about this never-ending Harper saga. Mark in Springfield, you've been very patient. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Danny, how you doing today?
Good, pal.
Good. Do you remember the first couple years when Bryce was a National? He made comments all the time that he wanted to follow the footsteps of a Mantle, a Ripken, a Jeter, and stay with the original club his entire career. Do you remember he said that quite a few times?
I don't know how often he actually said that, but he had reverence for those guys as a student of the game and an accomplished baseball historian in his own right. Did he ever say that he wanted
to stay in the club? Yes, he did. I saw it in
I'll take your word for it.
I saw him. It was in the Post. Mm-hmm. It was I think Charlie and Dave interviewed him several times. You know, I heard it numerous times, and he really was impressed with those players, of course, all Hall of Famers, you know, who stayed with the original team. And somewhere along the line, I don't know whether he became more of a money-hungry type of prima donna player, where he loves those dollar signs. My goodness, with all the spots he has on TV and the commercials, of course, he's set for life already. And what makes me even more irritated, if he goes to the Phillies with, a very similar contract that the Nats offered, my goodness, we'll have to see him all these extra games. I hope he strikes out and pops up at every at-bat.
Mark, thank you, buddy. I mean, Grant, if he plays for the Phillies, I certainly hope that too. I hope he hits 000 and like they send him down to the minors or something. I want him to fail miserably if he goes to Philadelphia. Because,
well, if you're a Nationals fan, you should want
that. Yeah, that's a direct rivalry. But if he goes, I can't blame guys. And this is the thing that some people will never get past. They invent different reasons for it. Like, we talk about this all the time. If somebody comes up to me and is like, hey, man, you're overweight. And I go, it's not that he said that I'm overweight. I don't like the way that he said it. Now your butt hurt because someone called you overweight, right? It's they can't get past money in this whole thing. I think a huge part of the Kirk Cousins saga was that, where we can explain the market so many times. He's pretty good, but you have to pay him like he's great. That may or may not be good business for a certain team. For the Redskins, it probably wasn't, by the way. They shouldn't have contributed $84 million guaranteed dollars to that guy, right, at the end of his time after a couple franchise tags. It was smart to move on. But people resented him because he's not Tom Brady, he's not Aaron Rodgers, but he's going to get paid like one of those guys. And pretty soon he'll be the 10th highest paid quarterback, then the 15th after a couple years, and the dance will go on. But people can't get past a lot of times the amount of money. And I will never fault a guy for saying, well, these guys offered me more, so I'll go where they offered me more. That's a pretty reasonable bit of human behavior.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think Mark made a good call, but a couple of things I disagree with. Number one, this is not about cash or income for Bryce Harper. He said, look, you're comfortable. You're set for life. Well, why are you so money hungry? It's about status. You know, free agency is about ranking the highest in terms of pay at your position or setting that record because of what it signifies in the game of baseball. That until Mike Trout gets paid, which is coming up in a year probably, a record amount of money, you break the record. You are the guy. Manny Machado got $300 million for 10 years. The market has said all offseason, supposedly, that you should get more than Manny Machado, that you are a better long-term player than Manny Machado. So now you need $301 million. It doesn't mean that he's going to spend that money. This is a childless 26-year-old with a wife, with some family, I think, in Ohio. They met out west, went to school in Ohio, I guess she did. It's not like they're going to be out going crazy buying sports franchises and needing hundreds of millions of dollars. It's as simple as, you're either going to rank fourth at your position in terms of pay, or you're going to rank first.
It's competition.
Good luck telling, you know, a guy who was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was 16, who's been an all-star every year, who's a rookie of the year and has been an MVP, that he doesn't deserve, as the latest guy to get paid, to be at the top of that list. But the other thing I'd say too, Danny, is he mentioned, right, he says, well, what happened? What changed? He always wanted to be in one place his entire career. Did he? I mean, his agent is Scott Boras. If your agent is Scott Boras, you're not playing your entire career in one city. That's not how this works. Now, you can point to Steven Strasburg, and I will tell you that is the exception, that is not the rule. Because of how his shutdown was handled, because the Nationals played ball with him, Strasburg is a mercurial kind of different cat. You and I know he's a little bit off in terms of how he deals with the media and the things he's comfortable with and not comfortable with. He's a rare breed. That is a once every 25 or 30 players kind of scenario with Scott Boras. By and large, if you want to stay with the Nationals for your entire career, and you know that going in, or you want to stay with wherever you're going to be drafted, Scott Boras shouldn't be your agent. He's going to get you the most money. He's not going to engage with these teams. He's not having, even to this day, I promise you, I know people in the organization, he's not having meaningful, long-form conversations with the Phillies. It's very standoffish. It's a number here or there. It's very weird. It's not handled like other agents, and that's why Scott Boras is your agent, because in the end, he'll get you the best deal in terms of money. It just might be at a team that you didn't know you were going to until the last hour.
Yeah, people don't like dealing with him because of that. He gets the most, and you hire him to be the jerk, right? He's the guy that is your front-facing. He's the sword, right? You don't have to sit back and swing it yourself. It's why you hire a guy like that. I think it's a good point. I want to do this real quick before Chris Russell joins us at 11. Drew Rosenhaus, speaking of agents, a guy that at one point was a power agent, they made Jerry Maguire based on his life, for goodness sakes, is basically saying, hey, wait a minute, not so fast. Everyone's being too hard on my pal here. You're doing my boy AB all wrong. He thinks teams should still want Antonio Brown. Next on Grant and Danny. Chris Russell will join us at 11 o'clock, tell you who the Redskins might target as a cap casualty or cap creating maneuver, to put a positive spin on it. Welcome back. It's Grant and Danny here on the Fan. GP is in West Palm, which is the best palm in Florida. It's 82 and sunny. Here it is 26 and snowy. Drew Rosenhaus, the agent for Antonio Brown, Grant, he made some comments, basically, and you'd expect the agent to do this. He's really good at whatever this is. But among some other things, he said, I would imagine there'll be a lot of teams interested in trading for him. It is very rare to get an all-time great like this in a trade. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for another football team. I'm sure they will jump on it. Everybody's aware of Antonio Brown's histrionics, the act, how it just it doesn't look like he's playing with a full deck all of a sudden, the dyed beard, the weird Instagram posts and the tweets and whatever it is, the meltdown that he's engaging in. It doesn't look like you're getting a focused, ready-to-rock-and-roll football player that's mentally as stable as maybe he could be. Do you think there'll still be interest in number one? And B, who could take him on right now?
I'm positive there's going to be a lot of interest because he's a special player. I mean, I think in general, as a football fan, we're probably surprised all of the time by the size of the markets and the number of teams engaging in courtships for players that are either off-the-field head cases like he's becoming or on-the-field problems, because someone thinks, all I got to do is tweak this one thing. I'm sitting at spring training. There are teams all around the sport that will take on these pitching projects coming off of terrible years, because if they refine the mechanics just so and they change the arm slot by a quarter of an inch, you know, a hair here or there, the ERA will come down by a half run. The Nats said last year at this time, we found something about Jeremy Hellickson that people don't know. They were right. I mean, basically get him out of the game after five innings and you got a chance, two trips through the order, that he can have some success. With Antonio Brown, you know he's going to play really well. He's going to go out and catch 100 balls. He's done it every single year since 2012. He's going to go for 11 to 1,300 yards, 14, 16, 18, 12, 15, 12, 97, you know, since 2012. So, yes, teams will want him. He plays a position that is pivotal. You can't win games without offense and points. In this league right now, where it's easier to throw the ball than it's ever been before, you need exotic playmakers. You need guys that keep defensive coordinators up at night. Danny, he does that. So his margin for error is massive. The amount of crap you'll put up with from him is bigger than it's probably ever been before, because of how easy it is for him to make plays with the space allotted to these receivers and how hard it is to touch them today. I'll bet you there's 7 or 8 teams, even at his cap number, which is almost $40 million over 2 years, $20-plus million this year, that will want him. I still say San Francisco is the number one spot. I think Kyle Shanahan is desperate this year to have success. He's in a win or he's in big, big trouble with the 49ers campaign. Jimmy Garoppolo, similarly, is in a prove-it season after getting paid and getting hurt, where if he doesn't do something this year, that's going to look like an awful contract and like he's a bust who just had a couple of nice games in San Francisco before a month with the Patriots as a starter. So, yes, I think it's Brown getting paid. I think it's San Francisco as a front runner, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's another 5 or 6 teams that jump in on this.
Jeeps, here's my analogy that I've been trying to figure out the best way to quantify this. And I've got a buddy. I've been friends with him since kindergarten. I've known him for 35 years, whatever the hell it is at this point, right? He's someone that I've learned that if our interests align, his selfish interests and whatever I'm interested in, if ours align, he's the most reliable, faithful, generous, thoughtful, excellent guy, right? He'll be there. But if his interests don't align with mine, I'm going to be left in the cold. He bailed on me in the middle of a month. We were living together in Washington, D.C. He found something better and just left, just took off. And I was shocked at the time, but then I went, wait a minute. Now I understand who this guy is, right? And I know it sounds like he's a crappy friend, but bear with me, because he could be so great.
Are you still friends with him?
We are. We're still friends to this day, though that was a really terrible thing to do. And it's not important. But for the point of the story, if Antonio Brown's interest for a short term align with yours, in other words, you want him to play good football, and you hope that he's not, that these tantrums, whatever you want to call it, are not too destructive. If his interest is, stick it to the Steelers, stick it to the Steelers, stick it to the Steelers. You can harness the crazy. The same way that the Redskins got a few great years, health, you know, notwithstanding when he wasn't available, but out of DeSean Jackson. I wanted nothing to do with DeSean Jackson after he pouted his way out of Philly and there was kind of the hanging concerns of whatever the hell it was off the field. I was wrong because all he wanted to do was score a touchdown against Philly, do that bird for 1 second, and then kick it out of there.
But
and it
Danny,
was great.
This is an unprecedented level of locker room chaos for a diva wide receiver in the recent NFL. I get your analogy. I think it's really good. And I specifically understand, as someone like you who was wrong about DeSean Jackson coming here, you know, some of the concerns when he showed up. But Antonio Brown's on another level than him. He quit on a team that was playoff bound in week 17. He opted not to practice and not to play.
Yes.
He got mad at his quarterback because his quarterback, among a lot of other things, wasn't throwing him the ball more than he was throwing Juju Smith-Schuster the ball. And got mad at his teammates because they voted Smith-Schuster in a banner campaign as a tremendous young talent, the offensive MVP of the team in a year in which Brown averaged 13 yards a catch and had 15 touchdowns. We have not seen this level of selfishness, even at the position where Keyshawn Johnson was writing the book, Throw Me the Damn Ball, in years. I mean, this is a level of wacky that we haven't reached. Forget about the dyed mustache and the weird hairdo and the, you know, outfits that are screaming for attention and the social media posts. You go all the way back to, you know, getting on Facebook in the locker room. The number of times Mike Tomlin has had to come out and answer questions about Brown's antics, it was always worth it to Pittsburgh, and it's not anymore. And this is a team in the business of winning championships with a coach in Mike Tomlin who's going into a make-or-break season. And he's going to wash his hands of this 30-year-old who can go catch him 110 balls. That should be a very loud strobe light flashing in the street for teams to be weary here.
Of course they should be weary. But the drug is intoxicating. The 1,400 yards and 12 and 13 touchdowns is intoxicating. I mean, you're right. Everything you're saying, of course, is correct. Just like every organization thinks they have the pitching coach that will find, you know, the grip for Chris Carpenter to go from failed prospect to Cy Young Award winner in St. Louis because Dave Duncan will work with him, right? The same way that every coach thinks their offense, their program, their whatever, it's worth the risk. I'm with you in the sense that this is now in uncharted waters. He's taken diva receiver and, you know, this is like the 3.0 version of it. This is the latest and greatest. Someone may come along and top it at some point. But right now, he's as cancerous as any player that has been, quitting on his teammates and getting mad that someone else got credit. Somebody, I think you're astute in the way you say this, somebody's going to say, A, we can figure it out, but B, if his main goal is to show the Steelers that they're wrong in giving Juju Smith-Schuster credit, regardless of how crazy the thought process is.
Or is
right?
his main goal just to get more money? I mean, he's already tweeting about guaranteed
money. That's true,
money.
Too. That's true, too.
I don't know. I mean, I do think that just like Le'Veon Bell, you want to prove that you're right. To me, that's what this whole Bryce Harper negotiation is going to be about now until it's over. You want to prove that you were right to not accept the 300. You're going to have to get more than that. You're going to have to get more than Machado. The egos of these players, and I'm not knocking them for it, the reason they become the best is that they're great, right?
Yeah.
Antonio Brown wants to prove that he's right, and that means showing the Steelers that he's still got game and that they should have, I guess, not kept him because he didn't want to be there, but they should have maybe thrown him the ball more or treated him better or not let Ben Roethlisberger act as an owner, as he said that he does. I don't really know what he wanted from them because it was clear that he was unhappy. So I don't know that, you know, you leave a relationship on your own accord, you force your way out. I don't think then you dangle pictures of you and the new girl in front of the other girl because you don't like her that much anyway.
Speaking of unhappy, Chris Russell will join us in about 6 minutes. He's permanently got a chip on his shoulder, but had a great segment last night I want to bring up with him. 11 o'clock hour. We'll do some non-Bryce Harper Nationals banter. Yes, there is a story with the Nationals besides Bryce Harper. Chris Russell, 5 minutes away here on The Fan. Hey, guys. Grant and Danny for our friends at Window Nation. Time is running out on one of the best offers of the year. You have got to make your play. Get this done. Call our friends at Window Nation. I think you've got till the end of this week, as a matter of fact, to take advantage of one of the best offers. Window Nation, you've got to do it. They helped me, they helped Grant, and they've helped so many of our listeners.
Yeah, buy two windows right now. You're going to get a couple free and get 0% financing for 5 full years. If you're buying 4 windows, you're getting 4 free. 8, you're getting 8 free. There is no limit. Plus, during the final week coming up right now, you're purchasing a house of windows. Window Nation's going to pay your heating bill until your new windows are installed, so you can save thousands. Window Nation goes room to room doing the install so that there's as little disturbance as possible. They need to keep the factory busy and their installers working, and they know that during the slow months, and that's why they come out with these amazing deals like the one I took advantage of and Danny took advantage of. The number is 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION. You can also go to windownation.com, but you got to tell them, Grant Dick.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.